Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and following. Matthew 28, and I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time. And if your child, K through third grade, has not been to Children's Church before, then I want to encourage you to take them for the first time, get them registered, and then they'll learn the routine, and folks will meet them at the door, and they make sure they get to the right place. While you're finding your place in your scripture there, I just want to say how excited I am. I didn't get a chance, because I was baptizing, to welcome Chris to the service. I'm very, very thrilled that God has brought us Chris Woods. Let me tell you, a joy of mine was doing the follow-up work in calling folks that know Chris, people that have mentored him, people that have he has ministered alongside, and with every single, I just want to say this to you, Chris, with every person that I called, the number one quality was his integrity and character. And that's what you need in a youth pastor, trust me. And I'm so thrilled to have him here, and he's a blessing. He's a smart guy anyway. He went to North Central when he was at Florida as a student, so, you know. So anyway, we're just thrilled that he's here. We're thankful his parents could be here today. And what a blessing it is just to have him. I also want to real quickly ask you to get out your bulletin. Can you do that? Let me see your bulletin. And I want you to just look at the back of it, because we're going to use that as a listening guide. There's something in there I want to correct in just a second. But one thing that I wanted to make sure you knew about, we are welcoming all of our college students right now. We're having lunches for them over the next 3 weeks. On September the 11th, in years past, we've called this the best of NCBC. Boy, I really like it when we do this week, because you bring your very best to a covered dish luncheon for our college students. And one thing that I want to say to you, though, that Matt wants me to make sure and announce, and that is that we want the whole church family, all of you that can, to stay and have lunch with the college students. So you not only bring some great food for them to have on September the 11th, but we want you to stay and enjoy that with us. So we're going to fellowship together. By the way, that gives me a chance to tell our group over on this wing. Y'all wave at me over here in that wing. Over this way far side. Okay. The reason you don't have the other green chairs, you've been wondering this, Chuck, is because as soon as this service is over, behind that wall, there are 13 round tables. There are 13 rows of 8 chairs, and you have never seen a transformation that can happen so fast, because they're going to set up for our college lunch over there. We couldn't do it with these big green chairs, so that's why just for the next 3 more Sundays, you're going to have, on the 11th, this wing will be that way as well. And so we're doing that in order to facilitate some setup there. So I wanted you to know about that. Also, the last thing is, if you'll open your bulletin to the offering. I don't normally correct the offering in the bulletin. But I want you to know that we had a typo in the bulletin. And the budget offering for last week, I'm told to share with you, was $17,775, not just $7,000. So I wanted to make that correction, and I wanted you to know that. And let me say this. We have a team of 10 people headed to Cuba in September the 24th through October the 1st. We're going to do mission work down there. The Florida Baptist Convention has been going for really over 20 years. They have been ministering. You can get a religious visa. You've been able to do this for years and go down there and minister in the Baptist Convention in Cuba. And we are doing that. We have a team of 10 that are going. Part of what we're doing is we are doing some construction on an educational building there. and we need to raise some money to help with the cost of the construction. Now, our team is responsible for their trip, and so they're working on that. But if you would like to be a part of that, you maybe cannot go with us or are not going with us, but if you'd like to be a part of that, we are raising $3,000. What's that? I heard somebody in back say, I can just take care of that. Thank you so much. Following the service, I'll be back there at the guest reception. But in all seriousness, if you can help us raise $3,000, you can put that in the offering. Just put Cuba construction costs. And that'll allow all of the church family to be a part of that Cuba trip. And that'll be very, very special. All right. It's all in the DNA. DNA is what makes up our genes. It's the instruction manual for all living things. It has the most amazing ability to store information that you could ever imagine. The thing about your DNA, it's in every cell. The same instructions about you and your life are in every single cell that you have. Your DNA affects what you look like, how you function, how you keep going. Your genes are why you look like your parents, why you heal, and how you stay alive. Your DNA is a part of every cell in your body. It pervades every cell. So why are you the way you are? Why do you have the physical features that you have? It's all in the DNA. Now the question is, church family, what is in our DNA as a church? That's what we're studying in this little four-week Bible study that we're doing. What should permeate every facet of our church? From our worship services to our life group ministry to our youth ministry to the office to the staff, what is it that should permeate the life of our church? We studied last week from our passage in Matthew 28, verse 18. You follow along in your copy of God's Word as I read it from mine. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And so we see that, we learned last week that the one imperative of this scripture is to make disciples. Can I say this, church family? Jesus told us that we were to, in Matthew 22, that we were to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and with all of our mind. He said this was the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we're to love God, we're to love people. That's a priority in the life of our church. He told us how to make his purpose our purpose. And that is what we're studying in the Great Commission. It ought to be in our genes. But now let me say this. There are some dominant genes that you have. Now, I'm no geneticist, okay? I studied a little bit of genetics and core biology at UF. How many of y'all have taken core biology or biology at UF? All right, I got a few takers here. I learned a little bit about Mendelian genetics, all right? Let me ask you to do this. Take your hands like this and just clasp them, okay? Hold them together. Is your right thumb on top? Raise your hand. Is your left thumb on top? Raise your hand. Wow. Do it again. Your left thumb is on top. Raise your hand. Your left thumb. Now that's your right thumb right there. Your left thumb is on top. Raise your hand. All right. Right thumb on top is dominant. Left thumb is a recessive trait. All right, now, I want you to do this. Look at me. Look at me. I want you to, can you do this? I didn't know if I was going to do this, but I'm going to do it, all right? Can you do this? Watch me. Can you, turn to your neighbor. Don't do that. Can you curl your tongue up? Raise your hand if you can curl it. Raise your hand if you can't curl it. All right. Curling it is the dominant trait. Now, let me let you in on something really good. Red hair is rare. Listen, let me tell you something. My mother was black-headed. My father was black-headed. And when I was born, somebody said, "Well, Christine, I think he's got red hair." She said, "He does not." But guess what I did? I had red hair. Do you know that my father had a black hair gene and a red hair gene? But black hair is dominant. So a person with a black hair gene and a red hair gene is going to have black hair. My mother had black hair, and she had a black hair gene and a red hair gene. And guess what color hair she had? Because black genes are dominant. She had black hair. But guess what they did? They did something amazing. My dad contributed a red hair gene, a recessive gene, and all of a sudden, it was a 1 in 25% chance. I mean, this is rare, folks. You're in the presence of rarity, if that's a word. But listen, so my mother, my father gave a red hair gene, and my mother gave a red hair gene, my father gave a red hair gene, and guess what? I got red hair. I have a daughter, Catherine. She has blonde hair. It's a more dominant gene. But guess what I gave her? Because all I had was a recessive red hair gene. Am I boring y'all? Anyway, so she has that blonde hair gene, but she has that red hair gene too, sneaking around in there, see? Her husband, Scott, has black hair, but guess what we weren't sure about? He had a red hair gene. My grandson, Charlie, he's got red hair. Now, let me just tell you something. In the church, there are three dominant genes. Now, I want you to look at the top of your listening guide. It's all in the DNA, ladies and gentlemen. Making disciples ought to be our priority. Amen? Making disciples ought to be our priority. And there are three dominant genes in the DNA of a church. Review our purpose. Look at that in the top of your listening guide. Making disciples. Here's the way we do it. These are the three dominant genes. Going. That's evangelism. That's sharing Christ on purpose. That means intentionally sharing the gospel with people. What is the core value? The core value there of that dominant gene in the life of the church is a passion for the unreached. There ought to be a burning passion in us to get the gospel to people that don't know him. The second dominant gene in the DNA of a church ought to be baptizing. Man, I tell you, I tell the baptismal committee, we have a baptismal committee in our church. They're the ones that lift these 400-pound lids off of this stage up here. They're the ones that heat the water. They get it ready for us. They're the ones that make sure that we have towels. It's a baptism committee made up of our deacons. And I tell them all the time, the happiest place in the church is the baptistry. Let me tell you, that's the most glorious place in the church is the baptistry. Because baptism ought to be taking place in the life of the church. It's part of our DNA. It's one of the dominant genes. So baptizing really brings people into the fellowship of the church. These new members today are coming into the fellowship of our church. They're part of the family. All right? So the idea is connecting people on purpose. The first one is sharing the gospel on purpose. The second one is connecting on purpose. And what is the core value? Relationships. Relationships. Oscar Thompson, I'm going to say this so many times you're going to know who Oscar Thompson is. Oscar Thompson was professor at Southwestern Seminary. He gave many tests in his evangelism class, but on every single quiz and on every single test that you ever had with him, he always asked one question that was identical every single test. What is the most important word in the English language? And the answer was relationships. Relationships we value relationships in the life of our church. There are no secret agent Christians. We need each other, don't we? Okay? So that's baptizing. The third dominant gene in the DNA of a church is teaching people to observe what Christ has commanded us. So I would say teaching, that's Bible study, that's learning on purpose. And the core value is life transformation. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, for then thou shalt have good success. God's word is the key, and so Bible teaching is a dominant gene. So today I want us to look at the go gene. All right? The go gene. There are six things that I want you to see. You see in our main scripture in Matthew 28, in verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So the way we make disciples is by going, by baptizing, by teaching. Today, I just want to focus on six quick things about the go gene. Number one, going in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 12, if you want to take your Bibles, turn back to Genesis chapter 12. I want you to see this in the scripture. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Do you know that God has always been on the move for people? God is a going God. God has always wanted his people to go. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. You see what he does? The Lord does this. Chris is leaving Naples. You know why? Because God's got a call on his life. God is always calling people to go. Go somewhere. Go do something. Be in movement for the gospel's sake. He says, get out of your own country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. There's a little hint of it right there. You see, it was not God's will that Israel just receive the covenant from the Lord only. The Lord wanted Israel to be a blessing to all the nations. Look at verse 3. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And then here is the Great Commission in the Old Testament. This is Matthew 28, 19 and 20 in the Old Testament. He says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you, Abram, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, it says this, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. How do I know that's the Great Commission in the Old Testament? Because in the New Testament, the scripture was quoted as saying that was the gospel being preached to Abraham, and beforehand, because it says, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Psalm 67 is another example of, in the Old Testament, the gospel being proclaimed, that all let all the nations be glad. You see, it's God's will that all the nations of the earth be glad. It's God's will. It's not God's will only, listen, ladies and gentlemen, church family, it's not God's will that we're the only ones that have the gospel. It's God's will that we are a part of his redemptive work in the world to get the gospel to all the corners of the earth. Why is it throughout Christian history that God has called people out to leave their homeland, to go to faraway places, difficult places, very, very places of hardship? The reason is because it's all the go gene. The go gene is in the gospel. It's in what it takes to make disciples, and it's in the church. Jonah was God's man, and God said, go preach to Nineveh. Do you know that Nineveh was the greatest enemy of God's people? The Ninevites were not God's people. They were not the Jews. They were not of the line of Abraham. The Ninevites were the enemies of God's people, and God said, Jonah, you go. And we know the story. Jonah said no, and he was swallowed by the fish, and The fish spit him out on the beach, and Jonah finally said, I will go. And then he went, and the people, you know what the people did? They repented, and they turned to God. And Jonah got upset about it. Jonah sulked about it, and he said, it's not fair that those people. And so God created a gourd to shade him. Jonah just went out on the beach in the hot sand and just sat there, and the Lord made a gourd and created shade for Jonah. But then the Lord sent a worm, and the worm ate the gourd and killed the shade. And Jonah finally said, I just want to die. Jonah was so bitter that those that were not of Israel, not of God's people, could repent and turn back to God. And so in Jonah chapter 4, at the very end of that book, listen to this. It says in verse 9, Jonah 4:9, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? He was angry because the plant went away. And here's what Jonah said. It is right for me to be angry, even to death. Now that's Jonah talking to God. But now listen to the heart of God. This is in the Old Testament. But the Lord said, you have had pity on the plant for which you have not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And then God said, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. Even in the Old Testament, there was a great commission. God sent his people to the nations. Now, number two, not only the go gene in the Old Testament, there was the go gene in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Find that passage. Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you this? Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Can I say this to you? If we're not fishing, we're not following. Amen. If we're not fishing for men, we're not following Jesus. You say, oh, I really want to follow Jesus, man. I want to get in a Bible study. Well, that's good. You need to be in a Bible study. Say, oh, I really want to follow Jesus, man. I'm going to get in a good church. You know, man, that's great. Say, oh, I really want to follow Jesus. Boy, I really like to listen to people on the internet preaching. Man, that's really good. Let me tell you what Jesus said. If you want to follow me, you become a fisher of men. Amen. You go after people that need Christ. Now listen, we think that going and evangelism is for the missionary. It's for the pastor. Boy, we're excited about Chris coming, man. We got another guy that's going to go. Chris, you're going to go. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Chris is going to go. Lord willing, hopefully I'm going like I need to go. I need to go more. But you're not off the hook. Amen. You say you're a follower of Jesus, we've got to be fishing. Romans 10 says it this way, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorite verses I memorized as a teenager. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And then it goes on to say this. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Listen, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So it's not just for the pastor. It is for the pastor. Say amen. That means I need to be going. It's going to be for Chris. Get ready. It's going to be for Matt Seitz. Where you at, Matt? You better be going, boy. Look in the mirror, believer. It's for you too. We all got to be going. Leighton Ford was an associate to Billy Graham. He wrote a great book called Good News is for Sharing. Leighton Ford was preaching in Nova Scotia at a Graham meeting. And Billy Graham, he was preaching that night, and Billy Graham just snuck in the back, and he had an overcoat on and sunglasses. Nobody recognized. He sat in the back. Leighton Ford preached the gospel, and he gave the invitation at the end. And Billy Graham was sitting by a guy that looked like he was really wrestling with the message, and he needed to get saved. Guy was kind of elderly, and he was listening, and Graham leaned over to him and said, "Hey, would you like to accept Christ? I'll go with you if you would like." And the man thought for a while, and he looked back at the man in the glasses. He didn't know it was Billy Graham. He said, "Nah." He said, "I think I'll wait till tomorrow night when the big gun comes in." Sometimes we think it's just the big guns, but there's a going. It's in the genes, folks. It's in the DNA. The closer we get to Christ, the more going we're going to be a part of. So there's going in the Old Testament. There's going in the New Testament. Number three, going in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. Acts, chapter 1, 8. These are the words of Jesus. He said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Going in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's number three. The power. That's the dynamite of God. The scripture says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you this? At the end of the Great Commission, Jesus said to his followers, he said, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Folks, listen, sharing Christ, matter of fact, I think Dr. Bill Bright came up with this definition, and he said it this way: witnessing is sharing Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. You're just the delivery boy. You're the postman. You deliver the letter. How they respond to the letter is between them and God. We're delivering the message. But all throughout history, there have been those timid about it. I are one. I'm timid about it. Can you relate? Sometimes it's we can be timid about sharing. You know, even Paul said, "Pray for me that I would have boldness." Even the great apostle Paul asked the people to pray for him that he would not be fearful in sharing Christ. You know, all throughout history and in the scripture, God has had to assure his people that he was with them. To Jeremiah, he said, "I will be with you." To Gideon, he said, "I'll be with you." To Moses, he said, "I'll be with you." David said, "Cast me not away from your presence." The disciples, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." In Luke 24:29, the scripture says, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." So we are to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. God will use you greatly. Listen, I've been scared about witnessing. I remember taking some teenagers. I think I've told you this story about going to New York City, and a guy told us one time, we were there on a mission trip. He said, "Y'all want to learn how to preach on the subway?" Well, I'd hardly ever ridden a subway. And of course, I had these seniors in high school. Man, they were chomping at the bit to do things for Christ. And they were bold, man. They wanted a challenge, you know. And I was their youth pastor. And I was there. And they said, "You want to learn how to witness on a subway?" And they leaned to me and said, come on, Reverend Carr, let's go. I said, "Well, okay, you know, we'll go." So we went out, and then they got on a subway, and the place was packed. I mean, the subway cars were packed. If you ever been to New York City, at least the ones we were on were packed. And the door closed, and all of a sudden this guy stood up, and he said, "Hello, my name," and he told his name. He said, "We're here to tell you about Jesus Christ. I've got a little booklet I'd like to hand each one of you." And you go around to everybody, and all these people, man, they didn't know him from Adam. And we're just sitting there watching. Then he turned to Josh Bowman, who's an IMB missionary in South Asia right now, who's preached in this church. When Josh was a senior, he turned to Josh. He said, "You want to try it?" Josh said, "Yeah." So then, the door closed on the next stop. "Hello, my name's Josh Bowman. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm here to tell you about Jesus Christ." And so he gave out tracts and he shared his testimony. Then they turned to Randy Drewer. He's a businessman in Atlanta now. And they said, "Randy, you want to try it?" He said, "Yeah." So Randy did it. Then those two boys looked at me and they said, "Reverend Carr, you want to try it?" What was I supposed to say? I said, "Yes, but can I tell you this? Here's something I've learned in life. We sing about this all the time. There's power in the name of Jesus." Amen. It's true. I said, "Hello, my name is Calvin Carr. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. I want to tell you about Jesus." And folks, can I tell you this? When you say the name Jesus, man, it's powerful. The Holy Spirit takes what you have. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he uses you in your going. In your going. And so it's very important that we see the going in the Old Testament. We see the going in the New Testament. We see going in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, number four, quickly, going and the message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, we find the gospel message. We are to be witnesses of what we have seen and heard. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." The message is the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. He was buried. He rose on the third day. He purchased us a place in heaven, which he offers us as a free gift. They thought Paul was afraid to go to the great city of Rome, and he wrote in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Sunday night, a week from tonight, I want to show you something that we watched in little home Bible studies probably 3 years ago. It is Billy Graham's last message to America. And in that message, he says, "I want to explain to you the cross of Jesus Christ." That's the message of the gospel. There may be young people here. There may be some of our brand new friends that are here, students that may not be as familiar with Dr. Billy Graham, a young man from North Carolina who was saved, came to Christ at age 16. Dr. Billy Graham had a power of the Holy Spirit on his life that was unusual. Now, let me say something that is amazing. Dr. Billy Graham preached to 1 million people at one time in Seoul, Korea. Part of this film shows a picture of him preaching with Billy Kim was the interpreter in Seoul when he preached there in that great big field with 1 million people. He's preached to more people than anyone has ever preached to live. He's 97 years old. He hadn't gone to heaven yet. But he gave a final message to America, and I want you to see it. And I want you to invite some people that maybe don't know as much about Billy Graham. You know, some of us were raised on knowing who Billy Graham is. I think most people know who Billy Graham is. But Dr. Billy Graham, God used him powerfully. I have a friend of mine that was a youngster in New York City in 1957. He went to Yankee Stadium, and he tells a story. His name's Mike Bezeris. He tells a story of being up at the very top of the outfield in Yankee Stadium, and Dr. Billy Graham preached. And he says with tears in his eyes, he said, "Dr. Graham gave the gospel in Yankee Stadium, 1957, and he gave his life to Christ." He was teaching Sunday school to teenage boys many, many years later. But he came to know Christ in one of those great crusades. So the message is the gospel. So we see the go gene in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. We see that we're to be going in the power of the Holy Spirit. We see what the message is. The message is the good news of the gospel as found in 1 Corinthians 15. So where are we to go? We're to go in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So those are places that we can go. We're to go right here. We're to go in the state of Florida. We're to go in North America, and then we are to go to the ends of the earth. We have to have the whole world on our heart. That's one of the reasons that we go, because Jesus gave us the pattern. Go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. Number 6, going to be fruitful. We are called by Christ to bear fruit. John 15:6 says this. 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." We glorify God by being fruitful. In John 15:8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Being fruitful in going pleases the Lord. Colossians 1:10, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So fruitfulness is both the transformation of character and the winning of other people to Jesus Christ. So our core value is a passion for the unchurched, a passion for the unreached. We do that by personally going. We have gospel booklets that we use. We have gospel tracts that we use. This is called Steps to Peace with God. We have these in the church. Our library has gospel tracts. We are going to begin a training program for those that want to learn how to share their faith and observe others sharing their faith on Monday nights, and also one on Wednesday nights coming in a few weeks. So opportunities to learn how to go and verbalize our faith. We have local ministry here with the Women's Resource and Medical Clinic, or CIRA, their new name. We have our conversational English ministry. We have global connections with Brother Craig Olive and Carlene and the group that is ministering in that way. We do backpack programs here with our Hidden Oak Elementary, which we've partnered with, and also with the other schools in the school system. We do block parties. We do VBS. We do camps. We labor in our life groups to reach out to new people and include them so that they might meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we go also to the ends of the earth. We've been to many, many places in our church. There's more places that we need to go. Our groups need to go. This is our command. Church family, it's in the DNA. We're to make disciples by going, by baptizing, by teaching to observe. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he wrote a little tract in his day called Who Cares? And he says he envisioned a storm out in the ocean. Boy, water's powerful. And he envisioned it, and he said all these people were out there trapped. He said, but there was a dock that was built over the ocean, and there were people that had been rescued that had gotten up on that dock, and they were out of the storm. They said that lightning was flashing in the sky, and the waves were rolling in. The tide would roll up, and the tide would go down. And the tide would roll up, and the tide would go down. And people were screaming, "Help! Help!" He said there were a few people that were leaning over the dock pulling new people in. But he said what was disheartening was there were others that even though they had been saved out of those waters, they were busy with making gain, storing up things for themselves. Some just amused themselves with music and painting and dressing themselves to be admired. Some just argued about those that had been rescued. And then he said, what was the most tragic thing of all is he said that the Lord was in the water saying, come help me get them in. See, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we're going to hear him saying, come out here among the lost. I grew up in a single-parent home. At the age of 6, my dad and mom split up. My dad was a World War II veteran. I'm so proud of what he did. But somehow in the midst of 7 or 8 major campaigns in World War II, he developed a drinking problem that wrecked our family. Sidelight. Can I just tell you this? I hate alcohol. I hate what it does to families, what it does to little kids. But it split up our family. There was a church that came after me. There was a youth ministry and a children's ministry that came after me. And my mother worked for 35 years at CSX Railroad in Jacksonville. It was all she could do to go to work every day and keep me in sports. And she hauled me all over Jacksonville. And when she could, she got me in church. But I can tell you this, if it was ever up to me, I didn't want to go. But there were some people that had the go gene in their DNA. And rather than just sitting around going, oh, isn't this great? We've got a great church. Oh, isn't the music good? They said, somebody got it on their heart. Hey, there's a little redheaded kid out there off Barnes Road in the Willowick Apartments, right by Southside Middle School, Southside Junior High. And they kept coming. And as you know, I've told you the story. They'd knock on the door, and we had a little thin apartment. We had one door here and a glass door there. And as soon as they knocked on Tuesday night, I knew who it was, and I'd run out the glass door. I'd say, Mom, you won't have to lie. Tell them I'm not here. And I'd run out the back door in the courtyard. They kept coming. When I was 15, my dad died of lung cancer. It shook me up. And that summer, not long after that, at the invitation of my sister, who was 12 years older than me, and her husband Ken, and others at that church, I went to a youth camp. I went there to play softball. They said they gave a trophy out. Can I tell you this? I've got it in there as a keepsake. It's that big. Kids today, they win the Biddy League Championship, and they get a 6-foot trophy. I mean, it's amazing. Is a little team. I went because I heard there was softball, and that's all we did. We played softball, but let me tell you what happened to me. I had an encounter with Jesus Christ in my life. And can I tell you this? I have never been the same since then. It ought to be in our DNA, folks, that we're going people. I love the fellowship we have. You're the dearest people in the world. But I can't help but think about what it was like before I met Christ. Amen. And even though I had an attitude and I thought I had it all together, deep down inside I knew I needed something outside of myself to change me. And I'm so grateful there was a people that had the go gene. Let me tell you something. When you go, you're doing what Christ calls you to do. Amen. It's all in the DNA. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.